today, as I mentioned, one of my favorite Martha Beck coaches, Jackie Gartman. She is a Martha Beck master coach. She's also a coach, instructor, and mentor. She was one of my coach instructors when I went through life coach training a couple of years ago. And she's also a life coach for women who are ready to illuminate their self-limiting patterns and stride into an ultra-bright floodlight of purpose and meaning at home, at work, and everywhere that matters. And she is also a self-described eternal optimist. She has a little obsession with chocolate chip cookies. And you know she loves what she does because she says that if she wasn't a coach, she'd be, drumroll, training to be a coach. So she also tells it like it is, which I know and I love that about her. And if a disco ball is spinning, she's the first one on the floor. She's head over heels in love with her iPad. And she takes full responsibility for her decisions because ownership is power. I couldn't agree with that more. And you guys will like this one, and we may have to ask her about this. She highly suggests that you scrap your to-do list for good. So we'll have to talk to her about that. Connect with Jackie through her website, which is JackieGartman.com. That's spelled J-A-C-K-I-E, last name G-A-R-T-M-A-N, JackieGartman.com. And I will let you guys know that something that Jackie very generously offers is a free 20-minute complimentary discovery session. If you like what you hear today, if you're interested in learning more, you want to coach with her, you think, then go to her website, JackieGartman.com, and just reach out to her through the contact form there, and you guys can set that up. And also, she will talk a little bit more about this, but she does have a coach's retreat coming up in September and a wonderful dinner in New York in October. So, Jackie, welcome to Sunny in Seattle.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. As I mentioned to you, you've been on the short list for a while, so I'm glad we finally made it happen.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, so you are known as the confidence coach.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you become the confidence coach, and what does that mean to you?
How did I become a confidence coach? Well, actually, and ironically, it was at a Martha Beck meet and greet for coach trainees.
Uh-huh.
Martha, and you've been to one of those,
yeah.
Martha asked everyone in the room to write down a question that they wanted an answer to or a problem that they wanted to solve, and then led us through a guided meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, of course, is that we have the answers stored within us, even though we have a tendency to seek those answers outside of ourselves. You know, we look to external sources, counselors, friends, psychics, if you will,
mm-hmm.
our parents, our partners, to give us advice or tell us what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, although guided visualizations have historically been challenging for me since I'm somewhat cerebral and pretty practical, this time was really different.
Mm-hmm.
It was really at a period in my career where I was feeling the desire to change my coaching niche, which at the time was working with empty nesters.
Okay.
And I had already sought advice from several business strategists who essentially said to me, you need to choose between either mentoring coaches or working with civilians, which I immediately rejected because it just didn't feel right to me. So this is, again, this is just a really good example of not looking to those anyone outside of yourself, because it doesn't really always jive with your truth. So the question I wanted an answer to during the meditation was this: whom should I be serving?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer came to me. I was so surprised in one word, and I remember writing it down, and the word was confidence. And I wasn't exactly sure what it meant at the time, but ultimately, after kind of noodling on that, I realized that the real question was not who I wanted to serve, which is where I was focusing, you know, my energy, but how I wanted to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in other words, I wanted to serve both civilians and coaches who were tired of feeling insecure and who really craved more confidence, more self-confidence, and courage in those places that mattered. And what's fascinating, Sunny, is that I am, because I am a kind of more of a practical person,
mm-hmm.
All of the big decisions in my life were not born from that part of my brain. The way I met my husband, my decision to quit my long-standing and well-paying job in sales before I became a coach, mm-hmm. my enrolling in Martha Beck's training program when I had no idea who the heck she was, and who I meant to work with were all examples of how when I listen to my deep intuition and follow the breadcrumbs of my path, in spite of the fact that those decisions defied all logic and reason,
yep.
How your life begins to change in significant ways.
Absolutely.
So that's how it all started.
Oh, I love that. And do you mind telling us a little bit more about that decision to leave the high-paying job? Because I just, I love these stories. This is what got me going, kept me going when I was extricating myself from my old life. So I just love bringing these stories to listeners, because if you guys are out there and you are thinking you want to make that transition, listen to Jackie's story. Listen to the stories of the guests that we have, because this is the inspiration for you guys to make those moves and follow the breadcrumbs that you know are there but might just go against the cultural programming that
right.
you've been fed.
Yeah. So my body actually played a huge role in my leaving my long-standing job. Again, as someone who tends to cotton onto her body last, that was a big surprise to me. So back in 2006, I was working in sales for a court reporting company. I'd been there for about 7 years. I didn't really like the job. I had no legal experience whatsoever, nor was I even interested in the legal field. But the pay and the hours were great, which in retrospect was a clue that either I was really, really shallow or and or I didn't really believe in my capacity to have a more meaningful, purposeful, and prosperous job.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. But I denied that part of myself.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said, I grew up with these beliefs that I adopted from my parents, who had a very strong work ethic, mm-hmm. that you were to go out and get a good job and work really hard and make money mm-hmm. and get promoted. And whether you like your job or not was never a factor. So I bartered myself away in exchange for the flexible hours and the money. So I was basically a whore.
Okay, then I must fall in that category as well.
Yeah. Then what happened was I started to have physical symptoms.
Uh-huh.
The Sunday night blues.
Oh, yeah.
And then following the Sunday night blues, I started to get headaches. And I'm not someone who have headaches a lot. And then those headaches, I began to start experiencing back and neck issues.
Yeah.
But, you know, because I was brought up with this strong work ethic, I forged ahead and ignored my body. Mm-hmm. Because who cares if you like your job or not? That was not a factor. And so I denied my truth and convinced myself that I would never find a job this good. But the symptoms worsened, and I was in the chiropractor's office twice a week, and I started shopping.
Uh-huh.
So when I was in sales, I was visiting a lot of clients, and I would map out in between those clients where the nearest Nordstrom's was. And, shopping for me was a way for me to numb out. You know, some people drink, some people overexercise. For me, I bought shoes.
Yeah.
And ironically, the proceeds from my well-paying job were going towards what was turning into a shopping addiction and doctor bills. Mm-hmm. So after about 7 years, I just up and quit. And that was a really pivotal decision for me. First, because it led to my, coaching.
Yeah.
But more significantly, listening to my body brought me back home to myself.
Yeah. And what did you notice when you started? Was it immediate when you entered coach training? You knew you were on the right track? Your body responded immediately? Or how did you start to use your body to guide you?
I knew I was on the right track. When I had quit my job, so many people said, well, what are you going to do now? You've always done something. And there's a lot of relief and freedom in saying, I have no idea. So, giving myself that time to play and explore and not just jump from one thing to another, which was, you know, traditionally what I used to do,
yeah,
was really very freeing. And I actually found coaching on the internet of all places. Mm-hmm. And I knew immediately that it was what I was meant to do. Again, there were no logical reasons why. It was not an intellectual process.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say when I entered coaching, you know, my confidence level rose and I was so secure and I never doubted myself again, but that's not true. Because when you do find something that's meaningful and purposeful, whether it's a career or whether it's a hobby or an interest, it brings up your belief system.
Yep.
Your negative belief system, if you will. So I had to really work through that. And that was the way, so as I worked through that in coach training, and even when I started developing my own practice, my confidence level started to rise.
Yeah, and now you are the confidence coach.
Yes.
And
yes.
That was one of the things, Jackie, I just have to say, as a student of yours in coach training, I love when people are really honest about the journey that brought them where they are. And I remember you telling us a story about, I don't know, I can't remember how far it was, but you were a pretty new coach at that point, and you just at one point threw up your hands and hid under your desk for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I quit.
Yeah.
I did. I quit. Because I suffered from what I call these universal limiting beliefs. And the big one is our not enoughness.
Yeah.
And that was historically what I used to do in my life. When something became hard or when I felt uncomfortable, I would just quit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way for me to hide. And after I quit, about 3 weeks after I quit, my mentor called me or emailed me and said, "Where the heck are you?" And I said, "I can't do this. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not articulate enough." I mean, I had all this evidence for why I couldn't be a coach.
Yeah.
And, you know, she pulled me out of the Ben and Jerry's wreckage. And I'm so glad that she did, because she reminded me that, you know, this was my training ground to becoming a coach. All of that personal development that I did, all of the coaching that she offered to me and the self-coaching was really an opportunity for me to transcend my limiting beliefs. And it really all stemmed from this low sense of self-worth in regards to my career.
Yeah.
I really didn't believe in my capacity to do something meaningful and earn money from it.
Yeah. And I, you know, we're at the point where we can take our first break here. And when we come back, I want to continue this conversation about worth. That's one of my biggest issues, because I'd always projected my worth externally, or I valued myself based on external things like education or money, things like that. So I would love to hear more about what you have experienced in your own life and with your clients about what creates a really healthy sense of self-worth. So we are here today with one of my mentors, Martha Beck Master Coach Jackie Gartman. She is the confidence coach. And we are going to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll continue the conversation with lots of other juicy stories and lots of wisdom from one of my favorite mentors. You're listening to Sunny in Seattle. We'll be right back.
My life just isn't working. Why can't I get ahead in business? My clothes aren't fitting. How come I'm not in a loving relationship? Any of this sound familiar to you? Sounds like you need smarter living. Hello, I'm Elizabeth Foster, founder of Connector Coach, and I can help you. Our team of highly qualified expert coaches are ready to start working with you today so you can achieve your goals. And by using our unique coach match system, you'll be connected with the perfect coach, so you can master your everyday life and business challenges, get results faster, and start smarter living. Call us today on 800-608-2030 or find us on the web at connectorcoach.com. Again, that's 800-608-2030. Don't waste any time. Connect to Coach for smarter living.
Well, What's your passion? Maybe you want to help people.
Or maybe you have a special passion for making our planet a better place.
Bring your special passion to our airwaves.
It's time your voice is heard. To learn just how affordable it is to join our family of broadcasters, log on to 1150kknw.com and click on the Be a Star tab.
A whole new world awaits you.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You know, East West Bookshop is one of Seattle's most loved independent bookstores, serving the community's mind, body, and spirit since 1989. Well, they've moved to a new location just above Whole Foods at 6407 12th Avenue Northeast in Seattle. And now they have even more space for spiritual-oriented products and a full monthly schedule of events and lectures with an emphasis on helping you to know yourself. Rediscover the new expanded East West Bookshop. For further information, go to eastwestbookshop.com.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy. I'm here today with Jackie Gartman, the confidence coach. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about self-worth. And Jackie, I'm just curious, in your experience from your own life, from the clients that you work with, who are both coaches and just women who are looking to let go of self-limiting thoughts, how do we become more confident? How do we have a solid self-worth?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I would say the first thing to do is to start taking risks.
Mm.
Get outside of your comfort zone and give yourself the opportunity to transcend your limiting beliefs. I will tell you that there is no worse feeling than the regret and disappointment that results from not mustering the courage to take the leap of faith toward your dreams, even if you fail. So I think that's really an important piece. I find that the people whose self-confidence increases are the ones that are willing to not play it safe in life.
Mm. Yeah.
Because the more that you get outside your comfort zone, the stronger you get. Mm. And I would also say to stop living from the illusion that you need to feel or be ready.
Yeah.
If you wait to feel ready, I promise you will be waiting forever. So you're always going to feel, even if you know you're on your right path, a certain degree of fear. And you will never feel ready to do anything that feels purposeful, important, or meaningful, whether it's coaching or speaking in front of an audience, opening up your own business, showing your art, expressing an idea, writing a blog, a book, learning a new language, for example.
Yeah.
So the more risks you take, the stronger and the more resilient and the more confident you become.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And the other piece, and perhaps the most important piece of advice I could give, is to be kinder and more compassionate and more loving to yourself.
Yeah.
And you can simply begin with accepting the fact that you are infallibly flawed, or what I like to say, perfectly imperfect.
Uh-huh.
And Sunny, I find the difference between people who have true inner self-confidence and those who don't is that truly confident people don't berate or turn against themselves when they fail or make a mistake or do something wrong.
Yeah.
Genuinely confident people let their mistakes inform them rather than define them. About what to do differently next time.
They let their mistakes inform them rather than define them.
Ooh, yeah. And I did that a lot when I first started coaching. If I made a mistake or I didn't coach perfectly, I made it mean something about who I was at my very core.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a low sense of self-worth, you experience shame. You take those mistakes, you look for them,
mm-hmm.
right, as evidence for your belief system that mm-hmm. you're not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we have that low sense of self-worth, we tend to self-flagellate, which chips away at our self-confidence. And it keeps you actually hopeless. It keeps you stuck. And there's a tendency to give up or quit, like I did.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would say those who are the people who are at the end of their life often feel regretful for not taking the chance to do whatever that thing is that scared them 20 years earlier. So that's something that I refer to as that 10-year rule that we were talking about on the break.
Yeah.
And I know you're interested in. And the 10-year rule is basically a simple algorithm for determining what you should do when presented with a choice.
Yeah.
And you ask yourself which option you think you would prefer to have taken in 10 years.
Yeah.
So often when I'm presented with, invitations from people, I ask myself that question: will I regret not saying yes to this opportunity 10 years down the line? And that's a real easy way for me to decide, how I make decisions in my life.
Yeah, I love that. And I would just say, talking about risk and fear and taking those chances that you may regret if you don't do them 10 years down the road. But Martha, in her book, The Joy Diet, I loved the chapter on risk. And I remember something that she said that really stood out to me, that one of the greatest disservices she felt like she had made early on in her career was when people were in fear about taking a risk, about doing something. She thought if she was just kind enough, supportive enough, a big enough cheerleader, that somehow the fear would magically go away and the people would be able to move forward. But in reality, the fear is not going to go, well, at least in my experience and those that I have worked with and learned from, it doesn't go away.
Mm-mm.
It's about pushing through the fear. And then, like you said, you develop those muscles that you become a little bit more resilient with your risk taking, and you are able to push through greater fears, bigger terror barriers along the way. So, don't wait
Absolutely.
For the fear to go away, because it's not going to.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even pushing through it. It's about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So I find that when your success is directly proportionate to your willingness to feel your feelings. So if you can acknowledge, I'm feeling a little nervous right now, even before the show, it's like, I'm feeling a little nervous right now. I've never been on a radio show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's normal. That's okay. And I had to kind of do a little self-coaching. And anytime I do something outside of my comfort zone, and I make sure I do things outside my comfort zone all the time in my practice and in my life, because I like to live it to give it, I find that my comfort zone begins to expand.
Yeah.
Right? So my life is not as small as it used to be 5 or 6 or 7 years ago.
Exactly.
And it breathes life into my life. So one of the things I wanted to share also is that one of the ways to really amp up your self-worth, and this is something that I borrowed from Gay Hendricks, who talks a lot about this upper limit problem that we have in our lives, which essentially is that each of us has this inner thermostat setting that determines how much love, success, and creativity we allow ourselves to enjoy. And people often will sabotage themselves at the height of their success.
Yep.
And a lot of that, the culprit usually is a sense of self-worth. And one of the things that she suggests we do, which I really love and I've adapted in my practice, is to, in order to amp up your self-worth, which of course increases your self-confidence, is to start making a list of why you're valuable. She actually offers this much more specifically. She has you write down, I cannot expand to my full potential because, or I can't expand to my full wealth potential because, and really to be very honest with yourself, because when you fill in that those sentences, when you complete those phrases, that will begin to excavate all of your self-limiting beliefs.
Ah, oh, that's interesting. So will you say them one more time? I can't expand to my full potential?
I cannot expand to my full potential because, and then fill in the blank.
And so it would be something like, because I don't deserve it, or because
I don't deserve it, because I'm not smart enough, because no one will love me, because I will lose friends. So I had, when it came to my practice, I found that in the first few years of my practice, I was hobbying my practice. I wasn't taking my practice seriously because I had these beliefs that were playing in the background, like a radio, you know, like when you turn on the radio very quietly in the background. But there's that loud buzz that was broadcasting these thoughts, like, if you're successful, you won't have a good marriage. If you're successful, you will lose friends. If you are successful, you won't be able to handle it all. And that was my self-sabotaging myself, because I didn't believe that I really had what it took to be successful.
And you've shared a story. I remember this one really stood out to me, about where you really ran up against this upper limit thermostat problem when you were offered a really interesting gig within Martha Beck's coaching. Do you mind sharing that?
Oh yeah, that this is one of those invitations I received back. I think in about 2008, I was the newer coach. There was a woman, Brooke Castillo, who was running Martha's program at the time. Martha had just published Steering by Starlight. And they, Martha and Brooke, had decided they were going to ask a handful of coaches to run some book clubs based on Steering by Starlight. And Brooke had called me and said, would you like to run this book club? We've asked, you know, four or five different coaches. And I was very honored and very excited to be asked, and but also very freaked out. And I said to her, can you give me a few days to think about it, which was code for, can you give me a few days to freak out about it? Because the thoughts that are running through my mind is, I've never, you know, who am I to run a book club? I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I'm not smart enough to do this. I don't really understand all the concepts. I mean, I had a litany of reasons why I wasn't good enough to do this. And so this was one of those opportunities where I could do something outside of my comfort zone and coach myself through it. But instead, I was operating under that illusion that I needed to be and feel ready. And I didn't. And I had all these reasons why. You know, I had proof for it. So finally, after a few days, I decided I was going, that I would be so regretful if I didn't say yes, that that felt way worse to me than saying yes and then dealing with whatever came up for me and coaching myself through that. So I emailed her back, and I was proud as a peacock for having the courage to say yes. And I wrote her back, and I said, I'll do it. And she wrote me back in one sentence and said, I'm sorry, it's too late, I've asked somebody else. And I was devastated. But that was another pivotal moment for me, because what I learned from that is that exactly what I just said, you're never going to feel ready, that you can feel afraid and do it anyway. And that I was going to learn a lot along the way. But I held myself to such a high standard that it was kind of that perfectionistic standard. that we hold ourselves to. And Julia Cameron said in her book, The Artist's Way, perfectionism isn't a quest to find the best in ourselves. It's really a quest to find the worst in ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's true. What I was doing. Yeah. I was looking for all this evidence to support my belief that I wasn't enough.
Yep, and our mind will sure go find that evidence if we let it.
Yeah, and it was really pervasive. So,
yeah.
You know, one of the ways, if you're relating to any of this and what I'm sharing, is to amp up your self-worth is to start looking for evidence that contradicts that.
Yes, and that go ahead.
Start to write a list and keep that list and add to it every day. So if you have a belief that you're not smart enough, and really break that down, because, you know, there's this, you know, when we drill it down with anyone, it always comes down to we're not good enough. But really try and be specific with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So what's, you know, are you not smart? Do you believe you're not smart enough or articulate enough or competent enough or pretty enough or skinny enough? And really write down those specific thoughts and start to reflect and noodle on evidence that suggests that you are enough, that you are smart enough, for example.
Yes. Yeah, and that creates those new neural pathways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. You want to start to create, you know, when you have a negative thought, you know, what happens in the brain is it gets wrapped in sheets of myelin. And the more you think a thought, it's like a highway in the brain, the deeper the groove is.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to create that new neural pathways, you know, Sonny, you have to start playing with opposite concepts, like I am smart enough. And even the smallest examples will help you to create that new pathway in the brain. It's almost like creating a new pathway to their front door. You'll want to automatically go down the path that you typically go on, or even, you know, a certain way to work. You won't want to automatically go that way.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to live a different kind of a life, you need to start creating those new grooves.
Absolutely. And we are at the time to take our final break. But before we do, you know, Jackie and I have been talking about feeling the fear and doing it anyway and moving even if you don't think you're ready. And I'll just send us off to the break with a quote from one of my mentors. And I've heard this a couple of different ways, but it's basically the universe does not call the qualified. It qualifies the called. And so if you have something that you are wanting to do, if it's one of those things where you feel like in 10 years, that 10-year rule, you're going to look back and you'll regret it. Just allow yourself to build the plane as you fly it, so to speak, and to just jump out. And so you expand that comfort zone, just like Jackie was talking about. It's good stuff. So we're here today talking with Jackie Gartman. She is the confidence coach. You're listening to Sunny in Seattle. We'll be back in just a few.
Welcome to Uplift Radio. This is the new evolution. I'm Michelle Woodward, and we're going to be here every day to bring you great conversations, uplifting content and material to offset a lot of that fear and scare that you get on regular media. We're going to bring you the information and the people that are doing things to solve the issues in our society, in our world, and on our planet. So for your morning lift, tune in to Uplift Radio at 6 a.m. on Seattle's Alternative Talk, KKNW.
Alternative Talk 1150. We're on your radio at 1150 a.m. We're on your HD radio at 98.9 channel 3.
So many ways to listen.
We're on the web at 1150kknw.com. Streaming live audio and video as well as MP3 archives of many of our shows.
So many ways to listen.
And now, we're on your smartphone or tablet. Download our free app in the Apple App Store or Google Play and take Alternative Talk 1150 anywhere you go.
So many ways to listen.
My life just isn't working. Why can't I get ahead in business? My clothes aren't fitting. How come I'm not in a loving relationship? Any of this sound familiar to you? Sounds like you need smarter living. Hello, I'm Elizabeth Foster, founder of Connect to Coach, and I can help you. Our team of highly qualified expert coaches are ready to start working with you today so you can achieve your goals. And by using our unique coach match system, you'll be connected with the perfect coach so you can master your everyday life and business challenges, get results faster, and start smarter living. Call us today on 800-608-2030 or find us on the web at connecttocoach.com. Again, that's 800-608-2030. Don't waste any time. Connect to Coach for smarter living.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our technical skills.
Our math. Our engineering skills.
You're going to need our help with your water. Your air. Your food.
You're going to need our organizational skills. Our problem-solving skills.
You're going to need our determination. Our honesty, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Having trouble picking up the Alternative Talk 1150 signal? Well, whether you live in Portugal or Puyallup, Tasmania or Tacoma, India or Issaquah, you can get Alternative Talk 1150 programming streamed live on your computer via our website, 1150kknw.com. It's true. Just visit 1150kknw.com and click on the Listen Live button. Make sure you have an audio player installed that will play streaming MP3 audio such as Winamp, iTunes, or current versions of Real Player or Windows Player. Visit our website for more details. Remember, that's 1150kknw.com.
Make us part of your daily routine. Alternative Talk 1150.
And welcome back to Sunny in Seattle. I'm your host, Sunny Joy. I'm here today with Martha Beck Master Coach and coach, instructor, and mentor, Jackie Gartman, known as the Confidence Coach. And it's so funny, during the break, we were talking a little, continuing the conversation. Before the break, we've been talking some about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. And Jackie just said something that I think is definitely worth mentioning. And we were just talking about, you know, guests that have been on the show. And I was telling her that there are some folks that I would really love to have as a guest. And, you know, you always have that fear that they're going to say no. And her advice, which is fantastic, is ask. And when they say no, the more no's you get, the more okay it is that people say no, the sting is gone. And again, you're increasing that realm of your comfort zone to make it even bigger. And I remember hearing not too long ago about a guy, and I'm so sorry I can't remember his name, but he actually made it his goal to have people say no to him like 1,000 times or something. Jackie, do you remember who that was?
I don't remember who it was, but I've read about this person, and the advice is to whatever action you're trying to take or whatever results that you want, you need to kind of increase your failure rate 10 times. So, for example, Sunny, if you have a wish list of guests that you want on the show, and you normally ask maybe 5 people a month to be on the show, increase that 3 times.
Oh, yeah.
And you will be surprised. You know, people who will say no, and at first it's just like, that's a little bit of an ouch. But the more no's you get, the more inured you become to it.
Yep.
But when you get that yes, it's so awesome because you took that risk to ask. And it's kind of that 10-year rule.
Yeah.
How are you going to feel in 10 years if you didn't ask this person on your wish list to be on your show? The very worst thing that can happen is they say no.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it may not have anything to do with you.
That is correct. And I'm what you just said, increase, because I typically do ask about 5 people a month. Mm. I am going to increase that, Jackie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And, okay, cool.
Awesome. Well, so another thing we were talking about over the break, and I want to make sure that we cover this, is I know that you have a lot of folks that seek you out for coaching and mentorship. And I see this coming through my door a lot as well. Folks who know that they're being called to something more or different, but they don't know how to reconnect with those dreams that they had either when they were younger, things that have kind of had to
go by the wayside with other things going on in their life, or maybe they don't even know what it is they're supposed to be doing. They don't even have a dream to reconnect with. Mm-hmm. How do you work with people? What advice can you give on that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the best way I know how, and this is really based on my own experience, and it may sound completely counterintuitive, is to reconnect with what you loved to do as a child and where you lost track of time.
Mm.
As adults, we think play is irresponsible, childish, unnecessary, maybe even a waste of time. But lack of play, in my opinion, kills creativity, innovation, but mostly it kills our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, play is really using our imagination and all the great things that have happened in our world, all the great achievements came from that imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So what I tell people, and when I send people pre-work before they work with me, that's the first question I ask. What did you love to do as a child where you lost track of time? So, of course, I always do the homework that I give to other people. And when I wrote down the answers to that question, I used to love to play games as a kid. I played Monopoly and cards. I mean, I spent a lot of time as a child playing games. Mm-hmm. Playing basketball, playing board games. And I realized as an adult that I stopped playing games.
Yeah.
And partially because my husband doesn't really like to play games, but I realized it's something that brought such joy to my life. And as a result of that, I learned how to play Mahjong.
Yeah.
And I have a regular game of Mahjong. With my girlfriend.
Yeah.
And it's a highlight of my week.
Yeah.
So that's what I would suggest where you start. Because when you do things that bring pure joy to your life, and by the way, joy is the joy of doing rather than a means to an end. Studies have shown that joy leads to brain plasticity, better personal health, creativity, and adaptability. So when you start doing things that are joyful, you'll start to light up that part of your brain that's been lying dormant. And it actually helps to help you to discover possibilities for your life on a broader scale.
Yeah.
And you start to make connections.
Yeah.
When you play and you use your imagination, it's amazing what can happen. And did you know, this is something, a little factoid I came across a couple of weeks ago, that the word school is derived from the Greek word school, S-C-H-O-L-E.
Uh-huh.
And what it means is leisure.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
School means leisure. And we've removed a lot of leisure, both from school. You know, we're taking away art classes and PE and from our lives in general, especially as an adult.
Yeah. And that's obviously, as Brené Brown says, we're the most obese, addicted, depressed culture that has ever existed. So I think starting from the ground up with more play, more leisure, more curiosity would be a very good thing for us right now.
Right. That's when I instituted and Fun Friday.
I love that. What's Fun Friday?
Fun Friday is the day that I do not work, and it's the day where I have fun. I am married to this idea that we need to incorporate more fun into our lives.
Yeah.
So I've deemed Friday as Fun Friday, and I make try and spread that message to other people. And it's Fun Friday. It could be, you know, Fun Monday. It doesn't sound as interesting. It's Fun Friday.
It doesn't have the ring.
But really, taking a day of the week and doing something that's fun, that's not productive.
Oh, gosh. We need a permission slip for that, man.
Yeah. That's just joyful. Well, you can give yourself a permission slip.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I know we are getting close to the top of the hour. I want to make sure, Jackie, that people have your information so that they can reach out to you. Jackie's website, JackieGartman.com. That's J-A-C-K-I-E, G-A-R-T-M-A-N, JackieGartman.com. Don't forget about that generous free 20-minute complimentary discovery session that Jackie will do with you guys if you are interested and want to know more about her work or learn more about coaching with her.